Okay. Hey, hello. Wow. Loud. Bill. I'm loud to start with. Hello and welcome. This is Leveraging Natural User Interface Technologies to Deliver Improved Performance User, something like that. I didn't make that up. This is a NUI session, the Natural User Interface. We're going to talk about the past, the present, and the future. And my name is Tim, and there's a reason that I'm the first session right after two long, arduous keynotes and lunch. All right, if you're here to stare at C#, this is the wrong session. I can do that. In fact, I'll probably do that in another session here. This is not that. This is to get you all charged up and excited about building pretty cool software. And if you know me or seen me speak before, you know that I'm a lot more comfortable in Visual Studio and or demoing, so we're going to do a ton of demo today. Sound like a plan? You don't seem as excited about this as I am. All right, there we go. Little crowd reaction. And I don't mind if you if you're interactive. In fact, that'd be great. I should have time at the end for questions, comments, if they're appropriate. But the Microsoft folks have already told me, hey, your session's going to be popular. You need to do a chalk talk. And that is, I'll show you the slide at the end, but that is at 6 o'clock today. If you know me, you know I love talking to technologists, even evil networking people. That was a joke. Sir, is there anybody but developers in this room? Any grossly overpaid designers in this room? Are we? Oh, there we go. A man, two men who are willing to admit it. I like that. So anyways, I'll be out in the expo hall in the chalk talk area, wherever that is, at 6 p.m. if you want to talk and or play with any of the demos we show you today. So right up front, this is the takeaway of the session. This is my definition of the natural user interface. It's touching computers. It's physical object interaction with computers, and ultimately virtual object interaction. But with this magical device right here, it's also waving at computers and speaking to computers. And we have that on the Windows platform, and I'll show you a whole bunch of that pretty cool stuff. Ultimately, within the decade, and we're already seeing prototypes of that, and I will show you some of it, we are going to be thinking at computers. Whether we are manipulating a user interface with our minds or the computer system is just tracking what we're thinking, we are on the cusp, believe it or not, of that revolution. Anybody recognize this date? I don't expect you to. I've been doing this thing for like a year now, this particular date, and I haven't had one single person recognize this date. If you know what this date is, I'll faint. Anyone? Anyone? No. This date, as painful as this is for me, because, you know, I see some friendly faces in here, people I know. I have been preaching the natural user interface for like 5 years. I have been working for or with Microsoft for close to 25 years. Well, it's probably important for me to tell you, I'm not a Microsoft employee, so I can praise them where they're great, and they certainly are great in this spot, and criticize them where they're not so great, and they deserve some criticism in many spots, like any other company. This date, as painful as it is for me, having preached the natural user interface for so long, is when this gentleman, and one could argue he was not a gentleman, but this guy, who I did get to meet a few times, stood up there with that magical $800 toy, like the Lion King, right? And people like my wife said, I need that thing. I need that $800 toy. And God bless them, they built a browser experience that works in touch. They did. It's magical. It's awesome. And who would have thought? Who would have thought that my wife now thinks that the only way to use a browser is with touch? She's never going back to her PC, right? She's got her $800 toy with her $100 keyboard to attach to it because, for God's sake, she can't type on a virtual keyboard on that thing, right? So these guys, God bless them, paved the way for touch. Even though on the Microsoft platform, I'm kind of a short guy, so I got to be doing this a lot. Even though on the Microsoft platform, we've had a beautiful API in .NET for touch for a long time. But these guys paved the way. And so in that respect, you know, competition is always a good thing. In that respect, you know, amen. Give it to us. So let's see here. I need to do this? No, this? There we go. So I thought I'd start out with a little demo here. And the reason I like this demo is because this is a touch-enabled application. It's actually based on a production application. I have my hands on the screen here. I'm spinning, right? I could be zooming and rotating at the same time. This is based on a production application that runs in heart surgery centers in the Midwest. .NET doesn't steer scalpels. I'm proud of this application because it's like 5 years old, right? This is just WPF. This is just .NET. Now, I tend to oversimplify it, you know, because believe it or not, this 3D control was built in 2 weeks by an internology developer, a young man, and not because he's totally brilliant, but because .NET is that good, especially WPF in 3D. This is a pre-rendered digital image, which means we just wrap our 3D engine around it, and we're able to spin this thing. We spin a lot of things in 3D. The use case here is a heart surgeon does a procedure. This is a template version in its production version. The template version comes down from the cloud, and we apply what the doctor did to it. And the doctor would say something like, well, your artery really looked like this, and we put a stent on it. In this world, you prop up an artery or you tear it down. One's a stent, one's a lesion. And then in production, they say something like a bunch of medical mumbo-jumbo, da-da-da-da. And that is that wave file is stuck in 3D space to the surface of the heart, right? But typically, a surgeon is not partying on the outside of the heart, right? He is partying on the inside of the heart. So I'll turn the inside on, and if I knew what the heck I was looking at, I could zoom into an aorta or something like that. Is that not cool or what? This is like 5 years old. Oh, by the way, you're welcome to the source code for this 3D engine. You know, I'll give you my email address at the end, and you're welcome to email me, but if you search internology or my name on CodePlex and you want to do 3D, you're more than welcome to this. Okay, who has gray hair like me? See how the app is bigger than the resolution of the screen? What's a keyboard command to kill a Windows app? Alt F4? Is that what it is? And I don't have F4. How about Alt Spacebar? Okay, the memory's coming back. There we go. Okay, good. And that thing is still alive. Beautiful. All right, staying on the heart theme. I should switch back. I should do this correctly. All right. Staying on the theme of the heart. Why aren't I advancing? There we go. Has anyone seen this television show? You admit it? I expect the females to say yes, because the females in my life watch this television show. And that would be my wife and my 19-year-old daughter. This is the dumbest show on television. I'm being recorded, so I got to watch my language. They make stuff up, right? The AMA has wiped their hands of this show. The AMA has representation in every medical drama show, and that's where they get all the lingo for the shows. The AMA says, we're done. You guys have sex in operating rooms. You make stuff up. We're done with this show. But we built a piece of software that I think will resonate with you. And I'm just going to show you, how'd that bad boy get back? I'm just going to show you a short 1 minute clip, and I can promise you this is the only 60 seconds I have ever seen of Grey's Anatomy. Bill, this one might be a little loud. Here it comes.
Keep an eye on Carrie.
I'll resect both atria and build new ones out of bovine pericardium. And during reconstruction, Dr. Hunt will stay with Linda using a human donor aorta to prepare the vessels for reimplantation.
And all of this in just 4 hours.
We have to be fast. We all set?
Let's go.
All right, prep her and page me when she's ready. Christina, are you excited?
Yes, absolutely.
Good. Good.
The fear of going back in is worse than actually doing it. Just getting back on the horse is all it is.
All right. Was that painful? I assume you recognized the heart there. That was a Microsoft Surface device. You may or may not have noticed in the background that was an 84-inch Samsung multi-touch HD Windows-capable monitor. They chose not to use it, but they could have just as easily walked to that big monitor, and a number of people could have put their hands on the screen and such. I'm trying to think of something amusing in there. Oh, the only point of amusement in there is, I don't know, the Dr. McDreamy guy, you saw him lean in to the Asian actress, Catherine Oh, whatever her name is. He leans in, I guess they're boyfriend, girlfriend, and his elbow would hit the Microsoft Surface of our app, and it would reorient the heart. Took him 17 takes to do that one scene. Do you find that amusing? You don't. Okay, now check this out. We're going to talk a lot about this today, and I'll just talk over the audio here. This is internology engineer Shimon Kobolchek, who has built a lot of our Kinect software and certainly done a lot of 3D. He, you can see, is waving at the heart. He could also be saying zoom in, zoom out, things like that. One might speculate in this season of that dumb television show, I think we're going to do the brain, actually, as opposed to a heart. But one might speculate you'll see those folks waving at software and speaking to software. And the reason I bring this up isn't just for whimsical reasons. The reason is, and let's continue to use my wife as a use case here. She'll see things like this on TV, and she has that magical Apple device. And in her mind, in the consumer's mind, that means that it's a prevalent way to use software. You aren't the user. You are the technology elite, right? You're building software for the users. You wouldn't agree, you wouldn't opt in for having our Big Brother software track you in a retail environment. You wouldn't do that. My wife would for a 15% off coupon. All right? So the takeaway today is this is happening. You will be building for touch. You will be building for gesture. This is happening. It's just a matter of time before you do this. Another takeaway would be, you know, what's most of the work we do? CRUD apps. Add, edit, lookup apps, right? This is not an environment for CRUD apps. It's not good enough yet, right? I think I'll painfully show you how to type something today with my hands, and it is painful, right? I can't even use the virtual keyboard on my Windows phone. I can't use it on the iOS device, but we're getting better. One might speculate that since the Kinect device shipped 2 years ago, that Kinect team has not been sitting on their hands doing nothing. One might speculate that Xbox team hasn't been sitting on their hands doing nothing either. Another takeaway for today is this hardware is cheap and it's just getting better and better and better, and competition is a good thing. All right, does that make sense? All right, I got to do the About Tim thing. I've been doing this for a long time. I'm certainly comfortable in front of the audience. Let's see. Top left is me doing an ASP.NET demo for Bill Gates at the Everett launch, Everett Visual Studio 1.1. And that would be 2003. There's me and Steve Ballmer at the Vista launch. This would be my 15th, I can't believe it. Seems like yesterday I was a young man and walked in front of a big audience. 15th straight year speaking at Microsoft Tech Ed. And short of my buddy Mark Rasinovich, I think I'm number two behind him. I think he's been doing this for 20 years. I'm involved in two companies. One does all the cool cutting edge stuff, and we have real customers too. In all honesty, I told you I'm very comfortable in front of audience and love speaking to excited technologists. But every once in a while when I do a presentation, we either get a customer or an employee. So there's more motivation to my madness, so to speak. And then about a year ago, I started this digital signage company, and we wave it at digital signage, and we speak to it. Let me give you a use case. Okay, I live in Southern California. I live in Carlsbad, which is North San Diego County. I travel through LAX. That's like my home airport. If you have ever been to LAX, you know you don't want to touch anything. That is a disgusting airport. It's the exact opposite of the Orlando airport, right? So typically, if you're in an airport, you're staring, waiting for the flights to come down. And in a big airport, you know, you could be waiting for 60 seconds for your flight to come to see the gate. Well, it makes sense to be able to walk up to the thing and just touch it. You know, United, Denver, boom, there's my gate. It makes a lot more sense to just say, United, Denver. Or if the thing's going too slow, to make it go faster, right? Perfect use case for this type of thing. All right, enough about the uncomfortable about Tim stuff. I've been doing this a long time. There's a few of you out there that have gray hair like me. This is the type of computer system I started programming on a long time ago. I was there when they told us that you had to take your right hand off the keyboard and grab this mouse thing, right? That was very uncomfortable. I was there. I am a machine gun. I still am on a, well, shoot, if we had IBM Selectric still, I would be a machine gun on an IBM Selectric typewriter. Now, I was there when they told us we have to take our hand off the keyboard. And guess what? It's now a common gesture, right? It's prevalent. We don't even think about it. I'm going to argue that touch, we're there right now with touch. If my wife thinks it's second nature to touch a browser, we are there. And soon, we will be there with voice and gesture as things get better and better and better. This would be, I never got to touch this thing. This was invented here, I believe, or at least in Southern Florida. This is IBM or Xerox's first mouse. You could see where we went with that. So, touch-capable systems started in 1972, believe it or not. Not multi-touch, but we started touching computers in 1972. Clearly, some magical devices have paved the way for this. And the Microsoft Surface, I don't know how much you know about it, but it's differentiated in that it has a beautiful fidelity of touch, but it also has cameras that look up that allow it to recognize objects. It has competition. A lot of people here would argue in a couple years, Windows 8 on a small form factor, a tablet-based computer, is competition for what Apple's doing. It is just going to get better and better and better. What's new is this stuff is inexpensive. For a hotel implementation we are doing at Four Seasons, we just bought 5 or 10 42-inch, stay with me here, 42-inch multi-touch capable Windows monitors, HD compatible. Can you imagine being in Visual Studio in 42 inches? I mean, that would be sweet, right? $1,500. 42 inches, $1,500. That means next year, $200, $250, right? Those 84 inches, that's $25,000, right? Next year, maybe they're down to 10. This stuff is getting more and more expensive, inexpensive, I should say. And I told you this earlier, at least on the Windows platform and the Microsoft platform, our tools, at least in .NET, and I can speak for WinRT too, are magical for building touch-enabled applications, which allows us to build this stuff relatively easy. The experts are saying you're going to get touch capability in your devices, whether you like it or not, whether you pay for it or not. And we're certainly seeing that in smartphones. You know, there is no such thing as a smartphone anymore. Well, I guess BlackBerry's still kind of around. That wasn't a joke, by the way. It really wasn't. It's a great company. Smartphones are all touch-based. These little notebooks are all going to be touch-based, which give you an opportunity in some use cases to build applications for touch. I thought this would be interesting. We'll see. All the demos I'm doing today, including that cool 3D WPF app, is on a pretty much worthless computer. This, and I love this little guy. It was originally purchased for $1,500. It's worth about $150 today. To replace it with a bigger, powerful one is what, about $500, $600. This is for a computer, I keep wandering away, that rates pretty decently in Windows. I don't know if you're familiar with the Windows rating, but when you buy a computer, this shows its power. This control panel system is how you do this type of thing to get a Windows rating. So this little $200 computer rates at 5.0, which means it does that 3D magically, right? And I'll show you some more pretty powerful software and its positives and minuses on a computer like this in a second. All right. If we could say that the last couple years, can we all agree that in the last couple years we've been in Silver Light Hysteria? Right? It's beautiful, it's magic, it's awesome in its simplicity. Silver Light is so great. You agree with me? Before that, we could argue we were in SharePoint Hysteria. Right? I would argue now that we are clearly in HTML5 Hysteria. Remember how I came up, the reason I have gray hair. You know, I used to sling ALC and COBOL and allocate JLC. You write JLC to allocate memory to my COBOL programs. Right? I come up from a software engineering background. I did happen to work on arguably Microsoft's best internet server product, and I happened to work on Microsoft's arguably best Windows server product, Windows NT. When we were told we had to do stuff in HTML5, IS4, and I worked on this site server and commerce server products, I, like many engineers, said, no way, that is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. That form submit in HTML is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I'm not doing that. I will never do that. That's not programming. This would be me in, like, 1998, right? HTML5 is elegant. It's neat. I dig it. It's a lot more like a, I can see engineers going, no, it isn't. It's still a markup language. Give us a break here. But it is elegant in being a markup language. Along with JavaScript, you can do a lot. Why do I bring this up in a NUI session? The spec defines touch as a major league player, as a common citizen here. There's not a lot out there yet. But remember, if our devices are going to start having touch capability, and they're all telling us we're going to be building HTML5 applications, I think we learned that loud and clear today in the keynote, then we're going to start building HTML5 for touch. We just are, right? So if you do a simple internet search, you can get to some of this stuff. But let me just show you one to prove it's not all smoke and mirrors. And did I do that right? Yes, I did. So on the, do you know how the HTML5 spec is, or how an HTML spec is approved, or do you care? It's when two of the major browsers meet all, it's like 2,500 tests to a completion. That's when they call it done. And it looks like it's going to be IE and Firefox. And then they'll call it done. Did you also know the HTML6 spec is already done, which means once this thing gets going, we're going to start seeing this all over again for HTML6. It's going to be a little bit painful for the next couple of years. But this is, remember, cheap notebook. This is a touch-capable application. You know, for a CRUD app, it probably doesn't make sense. But to show you that this, I don't know what magnetic repulsion is, nor I can't think anything with repulsion and it being positive. But I see what it's doing. For you know, a data entry app or a CRUD app, probably not the best use case. But for data visualization, which is essentially this thing, it does make sense. Okay, I've got a lot to show you, and I got to go fast. You probably noticed me going fast, and that is why. All right, the other thing we've learned after building NUI-based applications for the last 5 and 6 years is that if you inject physical interaction, physical object interaction with computer systems, the user experience goes dramatically farther. In a retail scenario, people get upsold because of physical interaction. It's just the way that humans are. So I thought, I don't have a Microsoft Surface here. It's too hard to get it here and switch it around. So I'm going to have to show you another video. but I think you will find it compelling. Which is here, and that. I will, Bill, there's a little audio in here. I will skip forward to the good part so you don't have to watch a whole 4 minutes of this.
Off with your finger if you want to cash out. There it goes. Now you got a little
Sweet.
Extra in your bank. Everything else stays, and we roll again. A couple more things about what we did. We did an interesting gesture implementation here. So if I have my bet out here, let's just go bet up here on the 8. And as I place it down, hopefully you can see that, but there's a set of arrows on each side that let me, we call it the ratchet gesture, and so you can see my bet right next to it.
Oh,
I'm ratcheting
fantastic.
Up or down, $100, $200, $500. So let's let it ride high, $500 on 8. I can do the same thing anywhere else, ratchet it up, $200. I got a lot of cash to spend, so go ahead and spin some up there.
Yeah, I want
There you go, 1,000.
I want a party.
Maximum 2,000 bet, you're draining your pocket. Let's give it a whirl here.
So. You are getting to the acrylic dice.
Yes.
My favorite part of this app.
Just added this in the last week. We got these cool acrylic dice. They're see-through. We got these from Microsoft. And you can't even tell on the camera, but they actually have a bite tag on each of the 6 faces. But what's really cool about it is the bite tag sticker is transparent, but they've got it set so the IR sensitivity, the infrared sensitivity on these tags is correct such that the cameras can recognize them. So instead of flicking with my finger, I'm going to roll these physical dice out here. And it's going to recognize the roll, represent it here, just sort of for informational purposes, and go ahead and play the game like normal.
That is awesome.
Is that sweet?
That is so awesome. It really makes you speculate about the way user interfaces are going to be done. And, you know, beyond keyboard and touching, really using
Definitely.
Common objects.
Physical objects.
You can't even see. I mean, even holding this up to my face, I can barely see the object tag in there. That
right.
is very cool.
So you might, that's a little subtle thing that I did in the rules where, so he picked up that dice, he put the other one down, and we're not counting that dice yet in the roll because I haven't re-rolled it.
All right, enough of that. Let me give you another use case. Large hotel chain in the U.S. that does wedding planning. Right, for you fathers out there of daughters, you're going to have to face this one day. They get the bride, the groom, and the parents in the room, and there's a Microsoft Surface, and everything's a figurine. So you pull the dance floor out, you pull the head table out, you pull the bride and the groom out on the Surface, right, physical objects. And as you pull the bar out, and then the son says, oh, I want another bar, right? And then you put the mean grandma on the back. But as you start adding to this, the invoice is going like this. So the mother of the bride and the bridegroom are digging it, but the father of bride is watching things add up, right? And this hotel chain has proven that with simple physical interaction, they upsell a wedding significantly. In the fast food industry, it's even more scary. We build a lot of software for the cancer industry that we're proud of. And we build a lot of software that we're not proud of because it's killing the world with their cheeseburgers. But you got to keep the lights on. So the other thing we've learned, and I'm preaching to the crowd here, I'm sure you can resonate with this one, is that humans, if they're provided a challenge or a game, they learn more effectively. About 6-8 years ago, the theory was only kids would do this. Now, you know, shoot, I know people my age that play these Xbox things. It's not me. It's not my world. But humans, especially the Western world, are infatuated with games, and game-based learning works pretty effectively. So one of the cool things I get to say is, hey, we even build software for NASA. Now, let me show you this app. You won't be surprised for me to validate the fact that the United States federal government has come under intense scrutiny because of its spending over the last many years, right? This has affected NASA dramatically. You've seen this in the news. NASA now, for the first time in history, has to defend their budget. One of the ways they defend their budget is with awareness and computer-based learning. This was originally a board game designed for fifth graders. We simply turned it into an app. Again, this is just.net. And I don't have the time to go through this entire thing with you. You are more than welcome to join me at 6 o'clock and play this game. It takes about an hour to get to the 10, 9, 8 and launch it. But the nice lady from NASA is saying, hey, a rover is a blah, blah, blah. And the reason we send it to Mars is because we learned this type of thing. And you have $400 million to party with, but it's going to take 9 systems. So I might as well do the touch thing. This will run in, this is the WPF version. It'll run in Surface, and it'll also run in Silverlight, because that's pretty much a standard XAML-type platform. So this runs in the Smithsonian Institute and museums, and it undoubtedly runs here somewhere. The trick is to stuff as much science equipment as possible before you can launch. And the real trick is you have a certain amount of money to spend, and there's gotchas throughout the process. Like, Congress will come in and take $10 million of your budget, right? And you have a certain weight restriction. You can only stuff so much thing on these things and send them into space. And then there are power constraints. So it's I can see it throbbing. You may not be able to see it throbbing. It's saying, hey, you need to do the payload shroud first. I'll switch to mouse. And in production, we'd have all the assets here. And the nice lady from NASA would say, a payload shroud is a blah, 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 and you need to do this and that. And there'd be all this content that could learn. But ultimately, you'd pick one of these payload shrouds. My finger's on the screen. And you drop it on there. And you could see that I just spent $10 million. And that weighed 7 tons. Okay? The next thing it's saying to do, and again, I won't do this whole thing, just show you a little bit. The nice lady from NASA comes on with the video, and there would be digital assets that would explain what the heck these things are. And, you know, I have a few more choices here, but in production there'd be like 20 choices. So I'll take the bad boy, and I'll put him there. And I just spent $100 million, but that doesn't weigh anything because we would have learned it's expended, right? It's part of the rocket system. Make sense? And then ultimately, I'm skipping to the good part, ultimately you stuff science in this. And you stuff as much science as possible. And when you launch the thing, it comes back and says, you learned blah, 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 blah. The reason I'm telling you this is NASA was overwhelmed that old guys like me use this app and are infatuated with this app and infatuated with this type of learning. This is all public type of learning that you read on the internet. But when you put it in a game format, suddenly you get a much better user experience. How am I doing on time? Okay, I'm all right. Not so good, but all right. All right, I'm not going to hammer you with the Windows 8 thing. There are tons of sessions here that talk about Windows 8. I assume you've seen Metro, which would be the bottom left of that slide. Metro, because it's tile-based, is perfect for touch and perfect for gesture because the icons are large, right? I don't know if you've seen Semantic Zoom, but there are some brilliant design in Windows 8. Semantic Zoom is where you have that desktop, that Windows 8 desktop, and it goes a mile long. Like any developer, you have a million things installed, right? You can pinch that down, and it goes through at most 5 levels of transition as you pinch it down. So if you know it might be a mile away to the right, you pinch it down and get to it quickly. That's brilliant design. You may have seen me struggling to hit the red X in Windows 7 with my finger in that earlier demo because we just can't get the fidelity of touch into our finger. The mouse has like a 3-pixel fidelity. I mean, we're good with the mouse, right? With the finger, everything's got to be bigger. With gesture, it's got to be bigger than that, all right? So I think the next thing I'm going to show you is a Metro looking. No, I'm not. I'm going to show you about this. Anybody heard of this thing? This would be, my son sure has heard of this thing. This would be, believe it or not, the world's fastest selling consumer electronics device. Faster than anything Apple has ever done. They sold like 18 million of these in, what was it, like 48 hours or something crazy like that and got themselves a Guinness Book of World Records because of it. That's the good news. The bad news is, and I assume at least half of you have Xboxes and Kinects at home. The bad news is you remember when the Xbox came out, or when the Kinect came out, was a couple Christmases ago. There was like no software for it. There was barely, you know why that is? Because this device came out of Microsoft Research, and the Xbox team said, yeah, there's our differentiator. We're going to crush those other companies with it. And they went to the game makers, like EA Sports and all these, not my world, but you know these companies. It takes about a year to build a game. And they said, we're going to build a gesture and voice-enabled device hands-free for the Xbox. So you guys need to start building software for it. And all the game makers said, no way, you'll never pull it off. Believe it or not, that is why you're going to see a ton of Kinect-based software, and have seen over the last few months, finally coming to market. Why do I tell you that? Because we can now use this device in Windows. So I tell you what, let me do this first. Go over here, kill the NASA app, and here, I'll do it without Kinect first. So this is my kiosk life. This content can be anything. You could run this in your own hotel lobbies, and it could be everything to do about your company. But I'm putting my hands on the screen, and let's see. I'll pick this. Come on, baby. And that, I don't know. I'm a fly fisherman. Anybody know what that is? That's a rainbow trout attacking a mayfly, right? Here's me and Bill G in the early 2000s. Me and Steve Ballmer, right? I'm just doing the pinch gesture thing, right? And I can get to any of these videos here. I can do this type of stuff. I'm just touching the screen. In other words, because this is a WPF Metro-like interface, it's very easy to touch this. You can picture going into the Peabody Hotel or the Rosen across the street and maybe wanting to find the local... What food are they famous for here? Nothing, are they? Steak restaurant or seafood or something, and getting some information that you need. But you could see going to TechEd and getting everything informational about this thing, right? Let me switch over very quickly and show you the really compelling thing about this. I think this is the way I did it. Yes. So I just told you about the Kinect for Xbox. This, believe it or not, even though it looks identical, and frankly is almost identical, is the Kinect for Windows. Okay? What does that mean? That means we can build .NET applications and make them gesture and voice enabled. It means that the Kinect team has done probably, arguably, the best job in a long time for a version 1 SDK. The SDK for this thing is free. This is a consumer-based device. It costs, I don't know, $200 or $300, $250, something like that, which means you can Kinect enable. Oh, there it is right there, $250. You can Kinect enable your applications right now. This is shipping. There's nothing crazy beta about this. So you want to see it in action? Yes, Tim, I want to see you wave at software. Okay. I am plugging in my Kinect device, and for you over there, I'm going to have to apologize. I'm going to have to jump down because I don't have enough room on stage, and I'm going to have to do it down here. So I need to see what I'm doing, and I need to restart the software so it can recognize my Kinect device. And if you guys want to wave at software, you're welcome to. Now, notice this is what we call avatar-based navigation, meaning you see my torso. There's also cursor-based navigation, where like someone would prefer, because I can go faster. I'll show you that in a second. We've applied smoothing so that the experience looks smooth, right? See my hands? This all looks smooth. This means there's a ton of calculus and trigonometry in this app that is way beyond me. So I can do things like, you know, I went to this scatter view, I think I did. We're stretching the limits of my eyes here. I'm staring at my PC. Yeah, so there's that scatter view. I can go home. I think I showed you this video, right? I can do that type of video. But I can also do things like, now everybody be quiet, Barbie. Right? So anything you see on the screen, any words you see on the screen is Kinect enabled. I was kind of doing the kidding thing about everyone be quiet. As good as gesture is in Kinect, the voice recognition is totally dependent on the power of your PC. Since this is a weak, you know, mediocre type PC, voice can be a little bit of a challenge. So let me try it again. Internology. Oh, it's behaving great right now. It's probably the first Kinect demo I've ever done live that's worked perfectly. Don't worry, I'll screw it up. The other thing about this content-driven, metro-like, interactive digital signage solution, just built in .NET, is that it will launch other applications. So I have a little Kinect demo here. This is an application that actually ships in production in a company in Nashville, Tennessee that is for physical therapy, for rehab. Here's a good example of cursor-driven navigation. Notice I put my right hand up. I'm just the mouse cursor right here. I put my left hand up. It's recognized that I'm now using my left hand, but you don't see my silhouette, right? So I will choose this. The deal here is I'm at home. I have a rotator cuff injury. This is not a doctor. This is one of our engineers, Brian Kuhn. But he's showing me the exercise I need to do for my rotator cuff injury. Now I'm in avatar mode, right? So if I go like this, and I have to get it didn't track it. I have to get the right tempo. All the other gestures you've seen so far are basically measuring the difference between points. This thing measures 60,000 points and tempo in depth. So I've been practicing this forever. We used to go to 15, but it's too painful for me and for you. So now we just go to 3. Okay, so I'm done with the exercise in demo mode. And technically, in a home healthcare scenario, you know, this would report back to the mothership. And I do all my exercise and take my appropriate drugs and things like that. And you could totally see in the future how this might be a compelling way to save a little bit of healthcare costs. All right, here is an app that has got a little bit of press lately. This is called Touchless Operating Room. This application is, I can see how well the Kinect is tracking me by my feet. And it's not, there we go. Okay, now it's seeing me. I'm proud of this one because, you know, Bill Gates, big deal. Steve Ballmer, big deal. Steve Jobs, big deal. But Rick Rashid is the chief research officer of Microsoft Research. He's a big gun, like one of the smartest people in the world. I've never got to meet him, but this was demoed in his keynote the other day in front of 6,000 people. Notice how the assets follow me? That's the deal here. The Kinect can track two people at a time natively. So in a big screen like the ones you're looking at, technically two of us could be up here. And in a retail scenario, our shopping baskets, Or in this case, my wife, right, is going through Nordstrom's and we're tracking her. And technically, she could look at a screen and aggregate her assets. So by the way, with Kinect, we can also be Big Brother. It's a 3D camera, multi-spectrum microphone, which means we don't have to triangulate anymore. We can watch you and we know where you are in the store if we daisy-chain a bunch of them together. One might speculate we can demo you. Right? Coke, all Coke cares about is 12 to 22, right? But privacy laws in the U.S. preclude us from doing the 12 to 22 thing. If you're under 16, we basically have to ignore you because of privacy laws. In Europe, we can't be Big Brother in most of Europe. In Asia, they don't care, right? This is where this is going. Our problems are not, and this is ours, our problems aren't technology. We're going to continue to get great technology like this. Our problems are things like privacy and business. Technically, I could speak at this thing. This has a quadrant-based zooming. Again, in its retail version, I'm picking out cute shoes and purses and things like that. But in this version, let me show you two different navigations. Let me get out. The scenario here is you know, I'm partying on, you know, I'm doing a surgery here. And instead, in real, what they do is they have to go out of sterilization, get the x-rays, re-sterilize it, and get back into the operating room. Technically, this is just a demo app, but technically, you could get all the digital assets you need right from the operating room table. So let me show you another Zoom-based navigation. I love this. This is all sample data, realize. But here's another way to hover with Kinect. Notice I'm just with my hand zooming in and out, panning up and down. I just think this is beautiful usability. And it's tracking pretty well. It's doing a darn good job. This is a beautiful 1.0 device. It's not perfect. It's not for typing the alphabet. But you will argue, I think you will argue, that this is pretty cool software. Again, if you want to meet me at 6, you are more than happy to wave and speak to software. I'm quitting out and back to the main kiosk. Is there anything else I wanted to show you with this thing? I think we are golden. All right. I've got 15 minutes, right? Hurrying. Okay. If you know me, you know I'm a good news, bad news guy, and I'm not afraid of being honest. And that means, remember earlier I told you there was 18 million Xbox Kinects purchased in like 48 hours? You're not legally allowed to build software for the 18 million Kinect devices that are out there in the field. That's a bummer. If you were to build a consumer app, you'd have to go the Xbox route as opposed to the Windows route. Does that make sense? The only way you are legally allowed to build software is to purchase, where to go? This $250 Kinect device, which is functionally identical. Now, although you're not legally allowed to do it, I'll tell you flat out, if you have a Kinect at home, an Xbox Kinect, you can download the free SDK from the Kinect site, plug the USB port into your computer, and it's going to work. And you'll be able to build apps. You won't legally be allowed to sell them in production. Does that make sense? Don't ask me why they did this. Draw your own conclusions. Right? It is the Windows team. You know, the world revolves around the Windows team. All right, enough about that. So I promised you a little bit about the future. I ran into this Tan Lee gal. Actually, the first thing I got visibility was at a TED conference. I don't know if you know these TED videos, these five-minute videos. This amazing company and this amazing lady pulled just a random guy out of the audience. And I would love to do this live, but it takes like 15 minutes to train someone. You put on the headset and they do a number of tests, and then you manipulate software with your mind, believe it or not. So I don't have the time to do a live demo, but I sure as heck can do a little video. So let me show you that right now.
Gamers won't need a joystick or a paddle. They'll interact with their games directly from their brains, using devices like the Epic headset from Emotive.
Our whole interaction with the virtual world is going to be far more natural. We'll be able to use our brain and our facial expressions and our emotional experiences to really experience content in entirely new ways. And what we've created is a brain-computer interface that really transforms the way that humans interact with machines.
The Emotive Epic wireless headset has 16 independent sensors that pick up electrical brain signals on the surface of the scalp.
We identify a signature for a particular thought or a particular emotion, and then in real time, we classify those brain patterns.
So when you think it, it happens on the screen.
You think push, the object propels forward.
So now my master's showing me how to pull using that tree, and then he'll ask me to focus all my thoughts on pulling that tree towards me.
There are 13 individual detections, push, pull, lift, drop, left, right, and then rotation in 6 different axes in a 3D environment.
You can even visualize an object disappearing, and it will. But the headset is more than just a brain-powered joystick. It allows the game to detect whether or not you're actually having fun.
It observes your experiences, excitement versus calmness, immersion, tension, frustration, engagement.
There are these mischievous spirit wisps that instead of pressing a button, I can scare away just by looking fierce. So, and you can notice by the sky color that I enjoy that part.
So when it comes to future game playing, keep an open mind.
We're really only at the tip of the iceberg in terms of what's possible.
So will all this innovation in virtual reality gaming spell the end of a good old-fashioned night out at the movies?
All right, not the best use case for my LAX, or not the best implementation for my LAX use case. You're not going to put a headset on and think United Denver, right? But here is a use case. Oh, Windows Media Player. God, I hate you. Well, that spiral's out of control. Let me talk use cases. You know what I did? The Windows Media Player has trouble coming down quickly, and I launched the next video, and now they're in contention. And, frustrating. A use case, I have a dream, and it's to build software for the people who are totally sound of mind yet have lost control of the physical parts of their body. There are millions of people worldwide, MS, quadriplegics, paraplegics. There's a number of diseases out there where we could enhance their experience so dramatically with this type of thing. But a more legitimate use case, and probably what we'll see first, is not where you're manipulating software with your mind. It's watching, or watching what you're thinking about. So, I don't know about you guys, but my engineers wear headphones, and they listen to music while they slay code. Most of them do that. Not my world, right? I'm not in that generation, but this is what they do. It would be very effective if there was software that actually was watching their behavior and how they enjoy or don't enjoy the particular music and building a playlist on that basis. Right, that would be a perfect use case for a neural interface that is a non-conscious type interface. Right, make sense? That's something Apple would do, not that Microsoft would do, but that is a legitimate use case. So let me switch back and then show you my dream. Now that Windows Media Player has timed out. This puzzle box company, I don't know them, but I just caught this on the internet the other day. Notice the kid at the PC, the PC should be attached to the wheelchair, right? But the kid at the PC is thinking at this thing and making it move. Clearly the future of neural-based interfaces. All right. Here's the good news. You can buy this... How much was it? $300 device right now, and it ships with an SDK and a bunch of sample code, and you could build C# and VB.net apps right now for neural-based interfaces. So I've been talking about this for a couple years, and you know, one or two of you go out there and they build the coolest stuff with this thing, and it's just like Tian Li said, we're just in the tip of the iceberg of building applications for this thing. Okay, wrapping this thing up. If you have gray hair, this resonates with you. If you're under 30, you have no idea what a holodeck is, or Star Trek for that matter. But you know, we're within a decade of true virtual environments where we the physical being interact with completely virtual objects. And that would be the ultimate NUI application. If I have done my job correctly, I've given you a little taste of what we can do now and what we can do in the future. We're just in the cusp of this, and it's my wife. It's not you. You're building the solutions, right? It's consumers that are going to drive the need for you people to build software like this type of thing. And frankly, what we can do in NUI changes the way you think about software. So let me show you one more thing quickly. And then I'll let you go to your next session. There's one thing about Microsoft. They still spend the absolute most money in research over any company in the world, any industry. They are doing things with the Microsoft Kinect that is scary crazy. By the way, they also own a bunch of headsets, Epic headsets. This is the Kinect device and humans manipulating virtual objects right now. This is also virtual objects interacting with other virtual objects right now. One might speculate we might be a little closer to the future than you think. If there are smart, publicly available things like this, this is truly crazy high-tech type stuff. If I've done my job correctly, you are now speculating about a number of compelling use cases. Some of their use cases are right in the middle here. I think I should keep talking while I show that. Look at that, a piece of paper interacting with virtual objects. If they could do that now, we're not too far from the future. Again, this has nothing to do with CRUD applications, which is the lion's share of what we do. But for data visualization, for modeling, things like that, this is the perfect type of thing. All right, I'm running out of time, so we're going to switch back and wrap this guy up. Please come see me. Otherwise, I'll be sitting there twiddling my thumbs. If you want to play with any of this software, if you want to talk about this, I will have to find where this is, the tool bench Chalk Talk area at the DevTrack booth, but that's where I'll be at 6. And if you want to wave at computers and speak to them, you're more than happy to party on any of this stuff that I have shown you. And since I'm not being recorded in a Chalk Talk, we can talk a little bit more frankly about what might be coming. We can speculate about what might be coming in the future as it relates to the Microsoft platform. So with that being said, I am done. If you want any of this stuff or feel more comfortable just emailing me, there's my contact info and all that social networking stuff I'm too old to use. But with that and being that said, that's it. Thank you for coming, and I really appreciate it, and have a great tech ed. Thank you. If there are any public questions or comments, we have 2 minutes. You're more than welcome to do it, but I certainly understand you have to get to your next session.